We've got a special guest today. She is the director of the Alabama Black Belt Adventures Organization. Her name is Pam Swanner. And I always say that name wrong, Pam. I'm sorry, but your name is Pam Swanner, and I'm going to practice that name, but welcome to the show.
Thank you for letting me be here. And I tell you, Alan, you're not the only one that has an issue with it. I would say 8 out of 10 people have a problem pronouncing that name. And it's pronounced exactly the way it's spelled, you know. But well, anyway,
that's right.
You're not the only one.
Try having a last name Baya. See how many different ways you get
that.
Yeah,
right.
Oh.
So how are things going for you all today?
We're doing good here, man. We're looking forward to a little bit cooler weather this weekend. First of all, let's talk about, just briefly, about Alabama Black Belt Adventures. Tell us what the organization is all about. What's your purpose on that?
Well, we are structured. The organization was organized about in 2008. And our mission and our purpose is to promote and market the outdoor natural resources found in the Black Belt region. And those natural resources are the primary economic development tool for the 23 counties that we work with.
That's a great mission. And, you know, a lot of people that hunt and they don't realize what an economic impact that has on our state. There are regions that I've preached about for years that depend on hunters for their survival. And the Black Belt has lots of those little towns, don't they?
They have a lot of them. And, you know, the communities that are affected positively by the hunters, you know, that they couldn't exist without the hunters, actually, in a lot of the areas.
Y'all are having a big buck contest this year. Tell us about that.
We are, and it's our 6th annual photo contest, and it was designed to help promote the region again for hunting and fishing and what I call soft adventure activities in the Black Belt, too. And those can include, you know, canoeing, hiking, kayaking, camping, biking, those types of activities that a lot of people enjoy. And the deer contest, as I mentioned, is our 6th annual contest. And it is positioned on Facebook. You have to have harvested a deer in one of the 23 counties that we work with. And it's just a way to help promote those activities that are available in the region and to engage the millennials and older and younger in the activities that we have to offer.
That's really great, Pam. Pam, you're also a member of another coalition called Hunting Works for Alabama, and I attended one of your events here recently, and I learned some amazing stats about the state of Alabama. And, you know, getting back to what Alan was talking about with the economic impact that hunting makes in Alabama, you know, Tell our readers just how much impact hunting makes economically.
Well, the Hunting Works for Alabama is part of a national initiative to bring all states together. It is underwritten by the National Sports Shooting Foundation, and it's basically to build a state or a local grassroots partnership of organizations, businesses, anyone, an individual, anyone who understands the importance of the hunting and shooting sports industry for our state. For example, just in the state of Alabama, and let me back up a little bit, National Sports Shooting Foundation has underwritten the development of each state, all 50 states, and Alabama was the 13th state to be organized, and there are now 15 states, with the latest one being the state of New York. And there again, as I mentioned, it's to build that coalition. What we're doing is basically encouraging anyone who understands the hunting economics and the positive effect it has on the communities they live in and the state they live in, and being there in case we ever need to address any kind of an issue that may come before, you know, the industry or negatively affect the industry.
Well,
you know, Alabama, I think as a whole, doesn't really have any issues because, for the most part, the majority of the residents of the state of Alabama enjoy outdoor recreation.
That's true, but you know, if you don't protect something, a lot of times it can go by the wayside. In fact, I was just out this past week with one of our riders in Montana, actually, and Montana is a state that was founded by trappers and people that made a living off the outdoors, miners and loggers, and that state is under fire from a lot of organizations and people that are interested in seeing those traditions go away, and they're losing a lot of their privileges in those states, and it makes a negative economic impact, and people don't realize how much money hunters contribute not only to the economy but to wildlife conservation. It's a big deal, and I mean, you know, in Alabama alone, you know, I learned at y'all's event there's a 1.8 billion, that's billion with a B, ripple effect in the economy of Alabama from hunting alone.
That's right.
Tremendous. I mean, you're talking about 27,000 jobs in the state that hunting supports.
That's right, and those jobs pay over $613 million in salaries and wages. And then those wages, you know, those folks who earn those wages turn around and spend those dollars in their own community. So it's that ripple effect that contributes to a $1.8 billion economic impact on our state.
It's unbelievable. It's something that we're going to hit on this a little bit later in the show, and that's, you know, how we can do a better job of bringing the next generation of hunters into the fold. And you know, I think that Hunting Works for Alabama is something that everybody should look up and consider being a part of. I know we are. Where can our readers learn more about Hunting Works for Alabama?
They can go to huntingworksforal.com. And I do want to point out too that it does not cost anything to become a quote-unquote member. It's simply signing up and saying, I support this initiative, and I am willing to be called upon at any point in time that it's necessary for me to protect my right to hunt and shoot in the state of Alabama.
We've been talking to Pam Swainer about the economic impact of hunting, especially in the Back Belt, but not only there, all over Alabama. Pam, I wrote a column in this month's Great Days Outdoors magazine called A Tractor is a Sportsman's Best Friend. And this is sort of a testimony of my own on how being a hunter led me to buy a tractor, which led me to buy fuel and maintenance and travel with the tractor. If I wasn't a hunter, I would never own a tractor. It wouldn't make sense. So
that's
the economic impact in a nutshell.
That's true, and you buy the feed and the fertilizer and everything else to support that wildlife habitat.
That's right. So $1.1 billion spent annually in Alabama. No wonder we don't have any money. All the hunters I know are broke, huh?
My wife tells me that all the time. She says, don't you have enough stuff already? I said, no.
Yeah. And it's a $1.8 billion dollar ripple effect. So a ripple effect means, you know, you go hunting, you visit a friend, they take you out to dinner. You know,
that's
all
right.
Kinds of things can happen when you're a hunter. But we've been talking about the money, and I want to talk about what another really important part of hunting that we're going to lose, like in states in Montana, if the anti-hunters are successful, and that is the tradition and the lifestyle of hunting, and how important that is to just well-being of humankind. That's an important part of this. And I'm going to bring Eddie Salter in after the break, and we're going to get into that aspect and try to search for ways we can bring more hunters, both kids and adults, into the sport and try to get this thing healthy again. We've been talking with Pam Swanner from the Alabama Black Belt Adventures, and we have Eddie Salter on the line. We've been talking about bringing new people into hunting and how important hunting is to not only the economy of Alabama, but for the lifestyle and the tradition of the sport itself. So, Eddie, welcome to the show.
Well, man, I'm glad y'all let me be a part of it. I'm tickled to be a part of it, and I want to tell Pam, hey, I ain't seen her in a while. Hope everything's good.
Hello, Eddie.
Around Montgomery.
Well, I'm glad everything worked out so I could have you both on the phone at the same time. Eddie, one of the things I really get aggravated with is seeing people take little kids out for their first hunting experience. They put them in a box blind on a deer plot and make them shut up and be still for three or four hours. That's not the way. That's not the way to recruit a young person into hunting. And how did you get started, Eddie?
But that's just a sad thing right there. But the first thing you need to do is really let them get familiar with equipment. You know, you need to spend some time with them out there. But if you do go to a box or a blind or something like that, have them planning to eat. And, you know, and it ain't real critical that they, you know, be still. I think that's some of the, you know, some of the old-timers we got drilled in our head. We think we got to sit there. We think we're outside of the blind and we can't move a bit. But, you know, you know, and I'm going to talk about several things, but one of the problems I think too nowadays is, it starts at home life, and mother ends up with the kid most of the time, and daddy, I mean, it's divorce, and that can be one of the things. I think we need to recruit moms and have more programs to get moms out there along with the kids, you know, to kind of get them to enjoy them, you know, enjoy it together like that too with their son. And, but anyhow, I'm going to shut up and let you, you know, comment on that.
Well, staying with the theme of kids, when I started hunting, I did not come from a hunting family. Like some people are lucky to become, you know, be in a hunting family. My father hunted squirrels a little bit, and he took time to teach me, take me a couple of times with him on a squirrel hunt, and then he turned me loose. And I learned to hunt that way, and I have never had as much fun since.
Well, really, that's one of the best, you know, teaching tools in the world is taking a youngster out there and let them, because they're going to see some squirrels out there and they're going to get familiar with it. And, you know, it's an art to be able to shoot squirrels. Mm-hmm. You know, and it learns you how to, you know, I learned what a red oak was. I learned what a white oak was. And all that, this is something our daddy's taught us. And, you know, you need to, you know, be able to visualize, you look on the ground and see, you know, if it's some, where they've been eating some acorns or whatever. I remember I took my grandson squirrel hunting yesterday afternoon, and I was just sitting in the woods. And I remembered way back when I was little, when my daddy taught me, he carried me to a big old hickory tree. Mm-hmm. And, boy, that thing, it must have made hickory nuts by the million, seems like. But, you know, I would sit there, and them squirrels was constantly coming to that hickory nut. So, you know, learning to identify and teach these kids, and, man, it's a lesson that, you know, I think that we overlooking it and wanting to go out there and start them off deer hunting, and which deer hunting's great, too. But I think just getting them out there and helping them learn to identify, you know, the outside is the name of the game.
Yeah, just walking around in the woods, you know, is a big deal. I remember that's my first experience. It wasn't even hunting season. We just went out, rode around on the three-wheeler, and, you know, walked around in the woods, and I got explained to what different things were. Like you said, learn the difference between a red oak and a white oak. And, you know, I took my niece duck hunting last year, and what I realized through that experience was, we're trying to get her to sit still, and we're trying to get her to be quiet and all those type of things. She didn't want to, you know. And
that's right.
And
that's
not
right.
Wasn't that she didn't want to. She was that she couldn't. She just wasn't old enough yet. What we should have been doing was letting her be loud. Let her, you know. But the important thing
that's
is
right.
make sure they have a good time and make sure that they want to go. And the other thing is, I remember being 5, 6 years old, and my brother, who's 4 years older than me, getting to go hunting, and I didn't get to go. Mm-hmm. That's another thing, is it was a rite of passage. It was something that was kept away from me, and boy, that really sawed me off. I can remember being so mad yeah. that I didn't get to go. So when I got my chance, boy, I jumped at the bit.
Whenever
well,
we
have to interject something
right,
here.
Right there. I think, and I'm gonna make a comment, and I'm gonna shut up again too. You know, a lot of times it's to be able to talk about your hunt and share your hunt. So a lot of times, you know, go get one of their best friends that maybe that wants to hunt, but their parents don't want to hunt, and let them hunt together. You know, and you know, I think that will, and then they can come back and share the hunt together and talk about it.
Well, Pam, what were you trying to say?
I was about to say, you know, it's extremely important that, as you've all been talking about, to encourage the youth to get outdoors and to teach them the traditions that so many generations have enjoyed for, you know, hundreds of years. But there's also another market segment that has not had the opportunity as well, and Alan has already mentioned that, the fact that he was not raised in a hunting family. Neither was I. I didn't even go on my first turkey hunt until 2003. And I'm not going to tell you how old I was, but anyway, well into my adulthood. And it was an invitation to the Alabama Wildlife Federation. And, you know, that really spurred an interest and a passion, I might add, for turkey hunting for me.
I sure appreciate you both being on with us today. I wish we had more time to talk about this. There are programs for adults that have never hunted. Like Pam said, you can get into the Mentored Hunt program and get to go on a hunt with an experienced hunter and get and learn how to do it. Eddie, Pam, thank y'all so much.
Thank you. Y'all, and God bless.
Bye-bye.
Go get them kids. If you don't have one, go borrow one.
That's right.